There are some questions that we will never answer. Like whether Bob Dylan is singing about Elvis Presley in When to See the Gypsy. But for life's little questions, close those tabs, have a seat, and take note. Hey, Ted, how are you doing?
Close those tabs, Adam.
I'm trying.
Close them, or save them, maybe save them for later.
No, I should just close every tab. There's no reason. I'm drowning in tabs.
File, save all tabs. No.
Every tab. Bob Dylan, you'll went
check,
to see
check
the gypsy,
the
Elvis,
later.
Elvis, Elvis, Elvis. Don't care about Elvis. Why do I care if Bob Dylan's singing about Elvis?
How's it cracking, Adam? It's good to talk to you again this week.
I'm doing very well. Ted, it is here in Chicago. It is the weather that I associate with Bob Dylan's Another Self-Portrait, 1969 to 1971. It's one of the bootleg albums that came out a couple years ago. It is fantastic, and I associate it with autumn.
And have you been listening to this album?
It starts with When to See a Gypsy, Ted.
I should have known. Here in Houston, we have experienced, as they say, all four seasons in one day. I believe yesterday it started out at about 95. By midday, it had dropped to about 62 and started raining a cold rain. Tried to go for a swim this weekend, and the water in the pool, our neighbor's pool, was too cold.
Ted, you know what they say? You know what they say about the weather in Houston, Ted? If you don't like it, wait 10 minutes.
Oh, that is a classic Houston phrase.
Yep.
It just captures the city and its astronomy.
Yeah.
What am I going for here?
No, yeah, astronomy. If you don't like the stars in Houston, Ted, wait 10 minutes. Ted, I like to ask every week when we do this show, I like to ask what you've written down in your pocket notebook lately, but that seems like a wordy way to ask that question. So Sometimes I'll just say, Ted, what do you got?
You know what I love about this podcast is that even without that preamble, if you had said to me, what do you got? If you just said it right out of the blue, I would have known exactly what you were asking me to do.
But Ted, what if there are new listeners? I'm sorry, what if there is a new listener?
Then they would have no idea, which is why I'm glad you provided that lengthy preamble. What I got, let's see. This is an excerpt from Brian Phillips' is a new book called Impossible Owls, which just came out. I was reading an excerpt. This is an excerpt from an excerpt. I was reading at The Ringer. Of course, I didn't write down the name of the essay, but it's about lions in India. Quote, and I'm actually quoting, he quoted this in his book. So I've created a real snake eating its own tail of a journal entry. Nevertheless, this is a famous lion hunter named Jim Corbett who said, and I quote, "For the first time in the history of the world, a young girl climbed into a tree one day, a princess, and after having what she described as her most thrilling experience, she climbed down from the tree the next day, a queen." Now, apparently, he had taken Queen Elizabeth on a safari and camped in a tree, and her father died while she was camping in this tree, and so she came down. She went up a princess, and she came down a queen.
I'm going to have to read this book. I've noticed some Twitter activity on our shared Twitter, which is one of the strangest things we've ever done, related to this book.
I'd like to pause for a second and say, if you haven't shared a Twitter account with anybody yet, give it a try. You sign your tweets, makes me feel more connected to my father, who signs his text messages still. It's an interesting little mental experiment to share a Twitter account and sign your tweets.
So I've noticed some activity about this book on our Twitter, related, I think, to you following Brian Phillips. Is that his name?
We follow Brian Phillips.
Right. Yep. To my surprise, we follow Brian Phillips. And the book sounds interesting, and I've been trying to find out more about this book. And when I clicked on the book description tab on a website for e-commerce a bookseller. Nothing happened. So I wonder if you could tell me about this guy who I guess wrote for Grantland and has a book of essays, and what I should know about this book of essays.
I think all you really need to know is it's a book of essays. I don't even know that much more about it. Honestly, I read this one and I thought, I'm not going to read anymore. I'm going to wait for the book to come. So I think it's just a series of adventures. I imagine they surround animals.
Okay. Because it's something this, owls. The book is something
else. The essay I read was very much about lions, but it was also, Adam, about people.
Huh.
And I think that's what's probably really good about it. I've read his stuff here and there over the years, and he's just a great writer. In a world of lots of writing, there are a few people that emerge as just having something original about the way they write, and he's one of them. He's now actually, I think, is on staff at The Ringer. I read that recently. I ordered my copy of the book from my favorite independent bookstore, Main Street Books, out of Davidson, North Carolina. I recommend you do the same. What do you got, Adam?
Ted, I wrote down this sentence, which is a real sentence that was uttered in my house. The sentence is, Tunvi's mom was talking to Miss Ramtha. That's it. I just love the way that it sounds.
Say it again a little faster this time.
Tunvi's mom was talking to Miss Ramtha.
Now, say it backwards. I like it. I don't feel like the sentence would change that much for me if you said it backwards.
Nope. Ramtha missed to talking was mom Tunvi's. Nope, it doesn't.
Awesome.
What do you got, Ted?
I was checking my voter registration information and found myself in some weird rabbit hole. And a list of people with very similar names to mine. My name is Ted Walker, full name Theodore Walker. Ran into the name of a gentleman out of Cleveland, Ohio, by the name of Theodore Labu Walker. What else you got, Adam?
All right. I hate encrypted emails, and my work, for some reason, revolves around people that don't know how computers work sending me encrypted emails. So the following are, I swear to God, the real questions. I have not left any out when trying to create a Cisco encrypted email password. You have to answer three security questions, and I promise you, these are all real, and I have left none out. The first I'm is, ready. What was the last name of your third grade teacher? Fair enough. The next was...
Started with a V.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What was the first album you purchased?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Steel Pulse.
Yep. Now, I've got quite a few more.
Earth Crisis.
Sorry. I've got quite a few more, but it's important for you to know that you are going to have to choose three of these questions. All right. On what airline did you fly on your first vacation?
I've never remembered an airline ever. 15 minutes after I get off a plane.
If you needed a new first name, what would it be?
Labu.
Labu? What was the most memorable day of your life?
Oh, boy.
What? Go ahead.
I did quite enjoy when you came into town and... we hung out in the Uber with the lady at the Lady Gaga concert.
That's true. I think that's going to be too many characters for the answer. But yeah, that's right. The day that Adam came into town. Okay.
What is capitalized Gaga, case sensitive.
What is the farthest you have ever traveled from home?
That's too easy.
You got that one. But I feel that's kind of a dumb one, too. Like, some people, if you've gone to Asia once, then you've got it. What if you've gone to Asia twice? Which one's further? You know,
crickets. All right. You got to fire up Google Earth, get that big old spinning globe effect going.
What was your favorite toy when you were a child?
Theodore doll.
Okay. Here we go.
Alvin Simon Theodore.
Type a significant day in your life, and it means date. It wants you to just type in a significant date in your life. I've got four more here.
I love that I've become the only one answering these questions.
Well, I also like that you're giving everyone your security answers.
Labu and enter.
What is the name of the first politician you refused to vote for?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've answered the question of what can a liberal arts major do to help a massive IT company? We've right. come up with the job for the philosophy major.
What award are you most proud of? It's got to be my Tony.
Yeah.
If you had a magical power, what would it be? And let me tell you why I love this question. Because with a security question, what you want is a hypothetical, I think.
Yes. That could change.
Yeah, right, of course.
Based on what movie you just whim. Watched tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the last one, and I swear to you this is real. What is the point of this security question?
Wow. I mean, are they trying to make the question so unusual that you will somehow never forget the answer?
Or never bother unencrypting the freaking email? I don't know.
Let's see if we can prevent people from ever accessing the email. That
if no one can ever open this, none of the information will be stolen. This episode is sponsored by Cisco. Ted, what do you got?
Oh, let's see. What else I got? Okay. This is verbatim from the notebook here. At work, I ripped a bear claw from a donut box in half and ate it as lunch dessert.
Nice.
Later, as I walked past the donut box, I saw that the other half was gone. I felt like I'd left a deer shank out in the backyard and it was carried off by unseen forest scavengers.
I like that someone was more desperate than you and your stale donut. Right?
I think my theory is they saw that somebody else had gone for the bear claw, and that kind of opened it up for them to do the same. And it's like, oh, it's only half.
No.
It's only half a bear claw.
That's ridiculous. See, if you see half a bear claw there, what that means is that the bear claw was not excellent enough for the person that took half to take the other half. That is a bad donut move, I think.
I only took half the bear claw intentionally because I was watching out for my health.
There you go.
But also the person who took the second half of the bear claw. I mean, how do you imagine someone tearing a bear claw in half?
Right.
This thing was not sliced.
You didn't have a knife there?
I didn't walk the 4 feet to the knife tray, you know, the open drawer and cut it in half, making it very apparent that I hadn't just gripped it in my sweaty palms and torn it in half like an actual bear eating a salmon. And the person who took that second half fully was risking that I just held that thing in my hands and tore it in two. They didn't care. They wanted in on the action.
Well, we're talking workplace snacks. I work in a co-working space, and yeah. I am in the annex of the co-working space, kind of a quieter area, separate from the main area with the crowded lunchroom and all the people that work for the co-working, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, every once in a while when I need a stroll and maybe a snack, I'll walk over to the main area. And a month or so ago, I asked the woman who was the manager of the space, whose name is Rihanna, but who no longer lives there, works there, sorry. You're contractually not allowed to live there. But the person who no longer works there, I'd asked if there were any snacks, and she pointed out where there was a big bag of M&Ms and a cabinet on a shelf in a cabinet. And in the last month, you know, every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, I'd go and I take a few more M&Ms and I take them away. And today I took the last of the giant bag of M&Ms, and it occurred to me that that at some point someone is going to go get the M&Ms to put them out for everyone and be very confused because at some point there was a giant bag of M&Ms and there's been one person slowly parceling them away.
The next time Rihanna tells someone that there's a big old bag of M&Ms, yeah, she's probably working on bad info.
That's right.
Of course, she's been living in the basement for the last 3 months. So
not allowed.
Not exactly allowed. The not exactly an authority on rule following here.
Ted, I've got an amazing basement story that I wasn't planning to tell. I'm very excited. I almost forgot this.
Did you write it down in your notebook? No. All great stories have to be. I can't accept it.
Okay.
I kid. Carry on with your basement tale. It's Halloween season after all.
Went to my favorite coffee shop today, Around Cafe in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Ordered my coffee. Lady served me my coffee. We were chatting briefly. Now that she knows that we both have our own businesses, she chats with me a little more often. And as she was chatting with me, the water spurter thing that she uses to like put water in a iced coffee or something, I don't know, the handle popped off the tube that runs the water line, and the coffee shop started flooding because there was nothing to stop the water from coming out of the tube. So water was coming from above a small fridge and under a fridge and on the floor and this and that, and it was clearly a situation where I could not go, "Ooh, sorry, bye." So I asked her if she knew if she had a water shutoff valve, and she said maybe it's in the basement. And so we went into the basement of the coffee shop together, and in the basement of the coffee shop, yes, was
you guys are brothers in arms, yes, as small business owners.
That's right. Yeah. There was a painting in the basement and boxes of files. And I'm using my...
And a giant bag of M&Ms.
I'm using my flashlight to try to find a water shutoff valve. I'm finding some valves that I can't turn. I don't think they're a main valve. She goes upstairs to try to figure out what, you know, solve it upstairs. At that point, I'm just, like, helpless down there. And what am I going to do? Come up and say, couldn't do anything. And then the water starts leaking from the ceiling, right? From the coffee shop floor down into the basement. And it's all over. It's coming through vents. It's puddling up. So I'm, you know, both, I don't want to be down there, but I also, like, this is a real problem that somebody should try to solve. It's not like a something where I just need to be polite and not leave because, and I'm looking everywhere and walking around the perimeter of, and I can't find anything. I do, you know, I keep finding some valves that I can't even move. So if it's the right thing, I'm helpless anyway. And when I see the water trailing down over, like, light switches, I decide that I'm not going to get killed for this, and I come upstairs. She has just solved the problem, and I think she may have forgotten that I was in the basement in her panic, you know? And she told me it's all set now, and I was like, it's pretty bad down there. And she said, I'm not responsible for the basement. It floods all the time in a nicer way than I made it sound. But I think that it's not her basement. The landlord's responsible and whatever. And then she said she was sorry. And I was like, no problem. I got my coffee. I walked away. And at that point, a good 15 minutes of this, a concerned customer who had been there the whole time stood up and was like, is something wrong? Is there something I can help with? The water's...
I'm a licensed plumber, and I'd like to be useful.
That's right.
Amazing. That's a fine, fine tale. Let's see. I think I got one more. What do you got? I got two more. I'll do the first one quickly. My daughter was watching her Saturday morning cartoons with my son, 6 and 4, and I heard her say, "Oh, every movie does that." And I say from the other room, "Does what?" She goes, "Ugh, does. I need to find out who I am."
Wow. That's true.
I know.
I got one more. Sorry.
You got one more. Do yours.
I got one more. I went to my 20th high school reunion last weekend.
Oh, this is going to be a long one, isn't
it? No, it's not really a long one. It really could
be. Buckle up, listeners. Here we go.
But no, it's... this is what it was like. Imagine standing in line for a drink at the bar, and you know that basically everyone else in that line went to school with you 20 years ago because we were in a private room. But you have no idea who they are, and they have no idea who you are, so you all just pretend like it's a normal bar line. And that's basically how my high school reunion went, although I also ran into a guy who I probably hadn't thought of in 20 years, but I liked him a lot. And we had a high school project of making a movie together. There was a group of us who had to make a movie. I never saw this movie. He had a copy briefly, and it reminded me that I had started to write a short story based on, not based on the movie, but about a group of high school kids that made a movie and what one of them went on to do with his life. And so it inspired me to get started writing that story again.
I feel like that's a net positive, but at the same time, you have described exactly what I imagine would happen were I to go to a high school reunion.
It was very strange, but it was not nearly as painful as I expected it to be.
Because there was a sort of mutual acceptance on everybody's part. I think that's important.
Yes. Yes. What do you got, Ted?
My last one, I saw a license plate. Texas license plate with an oversized American flag on one side going up and down, which is this new thing I'm a little weirded out by.
News the from Texas, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
All of your flags will be raising and lowering in the future.
Up and down, by which I mean vertically oriented.
Right.
It's not an animated license plate. That would be something. The license plate read Y9999Y.
Huh.
Which I felt like was a thing, but I just couldn't quite figure it out.
Well, Ted, at the beginning of the episode, I told you that there are some questions that we will never know the answer to.
So true. Let us go into a segment, shall we? To quote Greg Proops of the Smartest Man in the World podcast, let's start the show. why don't you take us into our first stationery-related topic?
So, Ted, the Wirecutter, which is a product review website owned by the New York Times, recently shared their best notebooks, of which, of course, Field Notes led the way in the two major categories, or two of the major categories. But I did not think there was really anything to talk about there. They also posted the best pen, and their two leaders, which I thought we might talk about, are the Uniball Jetstream as the best pen, and the Pilot Precise V5 RT as an also great pen. And I know that you are a fan of the Uniball Jetstream.
I barely looked at this article, but the Uniball Jetstream is indeed the best pen. I completely agree. I'm holding a Jetstream in my hand as we speak because I recently made a Jet Pens purchase specifically of a Uniball Jetstream because I'd run out of them. And so I ordered more refills and a pen barrel. I got the orange pen barrel, which is like $4 instead of $2, and you get this nice, cool-looking barrel that you can reuse, and it's sturdy and robust. I'm the Wirecutter to me always comes up with the right choice, and this really only triples down on that vibe for me.
So when I read this, I went out and bought the Uniball Jetstream and a pack of the Pilot Precise V5s. And I think if I could have found the Uniball Signo 307s, which they also list under also great, I would have bought the same. And I tested that Jetstream, and I tested that Pilot Precise V5. Actually, no, I tested a Pilot Precise V7, which is the same pen, just with a 0.7 width. And, of course, this is a trap, and you are wrong. The Uniball Jetstream is inferior to this Pilot Precise.
Well, fortunately, I've got the backing of a New York Times company, whereas you have merely an, quote, also great rating.
Yeah, that's true.
To support your position.
I like that this, I like that the Pilot Precise is a little, I don't know, it lays down a lot of ink, and to me it feels smoother than the Jetstream. But I will say this, I think this is going to be, for me, a real lost highway situation, where I am more likely, I will stick with this Uniball Jetstream to try to figure out what I am missing. In the same way, not Lost Highway, Mulholland Drive. I find Lost Highway to be the superior David Lynch film that is basically the same movie as Mulholland Drive, which came out a few years later and was assembled from TV Pilot. But all critics say that Mulholland Drive is the masterpiece and that Lost Highway is the inferior. And I've seen Mulholland Drive so many more times because I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing. And for me, I think I will stick with the Uniball Jetstream and use it a lot. And it will probably grow on me, or it will not grow on me, and I will use it even more because I will want to figure out why I am wrong.
First of all, I'm not sure whether to congratulate you or to have you committed for admitting that you've watched David Lynch movies. I'm going to infer more than three times.
Oh sure, of course.
Oh, jeez.
Absolutely. Did you see that third season of Twin Peaks? It's fantastic.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's unwatchable and fantastic.
I will say about the Uniball Jetstream, it is a ballpoint pen, which, you know, I think of the Pilot V5s and V7s as one of those gateway gel pens that do get into that different realm where you're talking more consistent inks and you're talking a slightly different experience. And the Jetstream to me gives some of that tactile satisfaction of a ballpoint, while also offering kind of getting towards the smoothness of the gel pen realm, but really feeling ballpointy. So it's almost in a way it's not meant to be as smooth or as thick as a gel pen, which I'm pretty sure the V5 is. That might be a rollerball. It's hard to figure out, you know.
I think you're right. And on this website, it does say the Pilot is a rollerball and it's a liquid ink type. And I think maybe I'm just more used to that. And I think part of why I'm fascinating. Part of why I'm fascinated. Part of why I'm fascinated with the Uniball Jetstream, and I don't think I even realized this until we start talking about it, is that it is a ballpoint, but it's much smoother than a ballpoint. The Wirecutter calls it a hybrid with low viscosity ballpoint ink with pigments.
I mean, all of that is why I really enjoy it. And I think it goes well with a Field Notes notebook, for example, because you like a lot of ink. I don't always like a lot of ink. Sometimes I do, but often I with a Field Notes, I want something that's a little more constrained. And it's got, and the Jetstream to me is a really nice writing experience. It's not going to bleed or get to be too much. It kind of rides that line nicely where you get the satisfaction of like a, you know, a Bic pen or whatever, but it just works a million times better. But it still feels ballpointy and gives you that level of satisfaction. So, given your style, you have big handwriting, you like a big gushing pen, you probably never will really come to appreciate the Jetstream. And that, Adam, that's okay.
I'm a simple man, and I just may not have the capacity to appreciate the Uniball Jetstream. But I would have...
Why don't you use it to take notes while you're watching Mulholland Drive the next time out?
The Jetstream would have come in handy this weekend. We were at a pumpkin patch, and halfway through the corn maze debacle, it was not a debacle, it was a joy, I started noting on the postcard map of the pumpkin maze that they hand you where we were, and I stopped being photo dad and I turned into map dad. So at no time was I maze dad, which is sort of a strange experience. It was like I wasn't walking through a maze. I was just taking adorable photos of my children or confidently leading us through the maze using a map. But the ink from that Pilot V7 did bleed, as probably anything would have on a glossy postcard map, but the Jetstream probably would have bled less.
No, the Jetstream would not have bled at all. It might have not dried as quickly as a cheapy ballpoint, but it certainly would not have bled.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to give it to this Wirecutter article. They really went to town.
In their, they did, and in their notebook coverage, they gave props not just to the regular Field Notes, but to the Field Notes front page, which is the reporter's notebook. And I've been using that all the time now for work. I really love that reporter's notebook. I bought a couple more, even though I'm not out of what I have, just so that I could kind of rip out sheets and throw them away without thinking twice about it. I knew that I had plenty left for to-do lists at work.
Well, I think that the reporter's notebook gets you into that zone where you're not, where you are kind of enjoying the utility of it.
Yep.
I feel similarly about the the dot pad from Baron Fig that I've talked about previously. It's just pure utility. It's not there for poetry. And you can just kind of rip them out, turn them over, use every little inch of it, every corner, and sketch and do the whole thing. And it's really fun. Cool. All right, I got another topic, another segment.
I will listen to a segment.
Sorry. Okay, I did write this down in my notebook, but it's a question.
All right, listen, I bring 10 questions to the show. You bring one question, that's fine.
Let me find it. Here we go. Does listening to an audiobook count as reading it?
Yes, it does, Ted. Listening to an audiobook counts as reading it. That's wonderful news.
I'm
if
so
you're
glad
the narrator, if you are narrating the audiobook, then that counts as having read the audiobook. But if you are simply sitting there listening to the audiobook, and if you are drifting away from what's happening in my experience in book 6 of Harry Potter, if you have absolutely no idea what happened in the entire first half of the book, that's a good sign that listening to an audiobook does not count as reading a book.
What you say makes a lot of sense, because the audiobook that I was listening to recently, which is called On Trails. I can't remember the author's name.
You know why? Because you don't have a book to look at the cover of with the author's name on it, Ted. Because you're not reading a book.
I was listening to it, and I thought to myself, man, that guy's doing a lot of reading out loud. Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say?
I'll talk to you later, Ted.